Thank you, Daryl, for leading in prayer this morning. Well, you know, in the Bible, there's a whole bunch of stories about people being baptized, especially in the book of Acts. There's numerous stories about all kinds of people, of all ages, from all different walks of life, different socioeconomic areas or places, who are baptized. But one of my favorites that I like to talk about when we have baptisms is one about a businesswoman who was a merchant of expensive purple fabrics, and her name is Lydia. And we find her story in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 to 15. So if you'd like to follow along, there's Bibles in the pew racks there. I'm just going to be talking briefly this morning, just for a few minutes here. Some are thinking, yeah, it's what he always says. No, I am going to keep this kind of short. We're going to go kind of quickly. But if you can find Acts 16, or you can follow along, what is going on in Acts 16 at this point, the Apostle Paul, who I'm sure most of you have heard about at some point or another, he was a kind of a missionary going around and preaching about Jesus and seeing churches established. He's on his second of his three missionary journeys. We know this is about 50 AD when all of this is happening. And he is there with his co-workers, and he is sharing the gospel to people. He has been up to this point in Asia Minor, which is the eastern part of modern-day Turkey. But then in Acts 16, in verses 9 and 10, Paul has a vision, and it's a vision in which the Lord communicates to him that he needs to go and leave Asia and go over beyond the Aegean and go up into what is called Macedonia or northern Greece. And in verse 11 then, we find him on the move and heading to that place. And we read there in Acts 16:11, "So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." Lydia was from Thyatira, a town in western Turkey. If you are familiar with the Bible, if you've read or have ever read the book of Revelation, it's one of the seven cities that are addressed by Jesus in the opening chapters there. And history tells us that it was a place known for its dye industries. And now this woman, Lydia, having moved from there, is now in this Roman colony of Philippi. And being a Roman colony, what that means is that the Romans established it as a place primarily for their war veterans. Rome was always fighting battles, and they always had these people who served and now retiring and didn't have anything, so they would build colonies, and cities actually would grow up around these, and they would give them property and so much money every month or year to live on. We're told here that Lydia is a worshiper of God. That means she's a person who believed in the true God and followed the moral teachings of the Old Testament. This is probably because she had some contact with Jewish people who told her about the true God back in Thyatira. And so it's not surprising then that we find her at a place of prayer. This would be one of the things that she would do. And this short account speaks of God's work in Lydia. Leading up to her baptism, it says the Lord worked in her heart or opened her heart. And Luke records this gracious act of God whereby God works within the human heart. Now, Jesus spoke about how the Father draws people to himself and to Jesus. And maybe you're one who has experienced that. I had that experience when I was 18 years old, sitting at a Christian concert and hearing the gospel explained. And I sensed distinctly the Lord working in my life, in my heart, at that moment, in a way which persuaded me to respond and to receive Christ and to say yes to the Lord. And that was, of course, a life-changing event for me. It is a mysterious thing. I can't understand how God does it, but he does do that. And sometimes you might sense the conviction or the drawing of God. The Bible tells us if you hear his voice, not to harden your heart. Because this is one way God works. He gives this still, quiet voice, drawing us to himself, drawing us to turn away from evil and to follow him, to believe in Jesus. That's God's work that happens. That's how he draws us. But following her baptism, we also see that Lydia became a servant to others. And immediately she begins helping the church and the gospel mission. She does what she can. Likely she was a woman of some means. This dealing in purple cloth, it was the wealthy people who bought that stuff. It was extremely expensive to make, and only the wealthy could afford it. The rest of the people didn't have it. So it was what kings wore and royalty and the upper class people. So she was probably a person who had some money and had a home big enough to provide hospitality for these gospel workers, as we read about there at the end in verse 15. You know, you can come, you can stay here, I'll provide for you, and you can work out of this home, and you won't have to worry about having a place or food, and you can do your work for the Lord. And she does immediately what she can for those who are spreading the gospel. And it's wonderful to see how she's quickly changed. God's work begins in her life immediately. From this conversion baptism. But baptism is important, and I want to just say a few things about it quickly here, especially if you're here visiting and you don't know, and you say, what are they doing? What is all of this? Why would you go in the water, get all wet? What does it mean? It is kind of an interesting thing. Baptism is something we do out of obedience to the Lord. Jesus himself told the church to baptize people, and he told believers to be baptized, that they should be baptized when they come to believe in him. This is a universal experience for all Christians. They all get baptized. That's what the Bible teaches. There's one baptism that we all experience. Now, churches do it in different ways, in different modes of doing it. But what's important is that everyone who's a Christian experiences that, because this is what the Lord commanded us to do. So we do it out of obedience. We do it out of obedience to the Lord. And as Christians, we seek to obey the Lord. This is what it means to be Christian. And this includes in submitting ourselves to baptism. The church is commanded, and we then go and do this. You may not have thought about baptism in terms of obedience, but that is what it is. And sometimes I think people see it as somewhat optional, and I think that's unfortunate because Jesus tells us to do this. But baptism is also important because in this rite, this ancient rite, we do a few things. And one of them is that we publicly identify with Jesus. Today we do baptisms in church buildings for the most part. Not always. This baptism happened outside. They didn't have church buildings really in those days. So it would happen by the river, by a place where there was water to do the baptisms. But even though we do them inside a church building, it is still a public statement. And this is a big part of what baptism is. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." What does Jesus mean by this? He means that everyone who acknowledges him as Lord and Savior before others and is not ashamed to do that, those people he will acknowledge to the Father as belonging to him, as one of his, one who has been redeemed by his sacrifice on the cross. This is what he's talking about. Sometimes people are afraid to acknowledge that they're Christians, but in baptism, we make a public acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We do this publicly. And in just a few minutes, a group of people are going to come up and publicly do that. And they care more about what God thinks about them than what all of us think about them. It may change your opinion of them one way or another. They don't care as much as what God's opinion of them is. That's what matters. And so baptism is a step of, in many cases, it takes a little bit of bravery to do it. But you are publicly announcing to everybody that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I'm not ashamed of that. I am his follower, I am his servant. Also in baptism, we illustrate our salvation experience. Baptism shows our union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why when we do baptisms by immersion, which will happen over here shortly, the water represents the grave. The person goes into the water as a sign of dying to their old life without God. They die to that, immediately come up out of the water as symbolic of rising with Christ to a new eternal life. And that's one of the pictures we see in baptism. It vividly illustrates this salvation experience for us by showing us. And we see this in Romans 6:4. "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And also in the book of Colossians, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." So there is this symbolism, okay? It is Christ who raises us to new life. We merely picture that in the act of baptism. But baptism also symbolizes the washing away of our sins. Baptism shows that. When Paul is speaking to an angry crowd in Jerusalem, he describes his call and conversion experience when Jesus appeared to him on the way to Damascus. And he tells them what Ananias, who was there, who was sent by the Lord to pray for Paul, said to him. And he said this in Acts 22. He said to Paul, "You will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Now, it's not the water that washes away our sins. It's the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ alone that makes atonement for sin. And it is by faith in him that we receive that forgiveness. But in baptism, we show, we demonstrate as a picture of washing, a picture, not the actual washing, a picture of the washing that we have been forgiven, that we have called upon his name. We have placed our faith in him. And then finally, let me say that through baptism, we glorify God. This is one of the reasons I think God tells us to do this. Because through baptism, God's salvation is declared. People are going to come and talk about God's work in their life. Some of them are young. And their stories are a little more simpler. Others have been around for a while. But whether young or old, God's work of salvation is miraculous and powerful. It is the work by which we are saved from our sins and by which we gain forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He shed his blood as an atonement for our sins. You can be a good person. You can be a relatively wonderful person. You can be a bad person. But everyone is a sinner and has sins that will keep them out of God's presence forever, unless those sins are washed away. And the only way that happens is through faith in Jesus. Jesus is the only way to God. The Bible makes this very clear. No one else died for your sins. No one else made atonement. No one else procured forgiveness for you. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, that is Christ Jesus and him alone. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I would invite you to consider those things. These individuals are coming to declare that God has saved them, that their sins are now washed away, and their name is written down in the book of life. And so baptism is this powerful witness that honors the Lord. And so at this time, we're gonna ask all those who are being baptized to come up here with me. Not to be shy. I know it's a scary place up here. I'm scared every time I come up here. But we're going to have, I'm figuring this out as I go, as you can probably tell. We're going to have Barb come right here. You guys can just kind of stand right there for a moment. Okay, Barb? Hold this, but don't say anything yet. Okay. From about the second century, we read in church history that the church had to figure out the problem of those who wanted to be baptized but were either very elderly or ill or had some physical reason why they could not go into the water, the normal method of baptism. And so we read about using an alternative mode of sprinkling water on people as a way of baptizing them. And that is what we're going to do with Barb. Now, Barb, I have to warn you, I'm better in there than with this thing. And I have to get it right. But before we do that, before we baptize Barb, Barb's going to tell us about how she became a Christian.
Well, first of all, I do want to say how happy I am that three of these young people were in my spots in the bedroom room over the years that I was with that. I was baptized probably 12 or 13 years old, and thing that everybody did at that certain age. And if they tried to tell me, I'm not really listening. And so anyway, I was baptized, and I was like a teen and adult, and learned what the meaning of baptism is, and we had accepted Christ as my Savior. I realized that I did things backwards, and I'm correcting that today by being baptized after the fact that I had accepted Christ as my Savior.
Okay. There's a couple readings, or there's someone going to read, right? Okay, according to the commandment of the Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, great. You okay? Okay, just stay right here. Okay, Barb's going to stay right here. And now we're going to hear the others briefly share a little bit about how they became a Christian. Would you like to be first?
Sure.
Okay. And everyone's going to tell them, you're going to tell them who you are and then share. But remember, it's not a, okay.
I'm Jeffrey Miller. I'm 50 years old. And it all comes down to I want to live my life for Christ. This is a decision that I did a lot of thinking about, and it's time to stop thinking and start doing. Just that simple.
Okay, great.
Do I pass or
they need to move. We have limited access here. Okay.
Okay, my name is Marty, and I've always believed, started coming here, and I guess now I know where I'm supposed to be.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, very good.
My name is Isabel. I heard my mom dad talking and we went to church. I became more interested in learning about God. Then, one night at BBS this past summer, a church staff member asked if I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. They explained what that meant, and I decided I wanted to live that life. We prayed together, and that was when I decided to live for God. Now I'm reading my Bible 15 minutes each day and doing my morning devotions.
Okay.
Okay.
Christ Jesus into my life. Then I now understand the message of the gospel, and I am a Christian. I'm publicly showing my faith today by being baptized.
Okay, great. Very good. Okay, at this time, we're going to have some music and lead some worship songs. And all of us going into the water are going to go change. So let's all head out to the foyer here.